I love how, like, we talked about something wholesome and then we ended it up on, like, how much we hate our voice.
No.
Like, on brand okay. for us. Very.
That is.
It's very on brand.
Dear Asian Girl, for Asian girls, by Asian girls.
Welcome to, I don't even know what episode this is, but I'm here with my lovely co-host, not only just Alina, but just say hi, introduce yourselves.
Hey guys, it's Naina.
Hey guys, it's Melissa.
Hi everyone, it's Alina. I'm normally here with Jen, but I'm finally on an episode with Melissa and Naina. Like, that's like never happened. I'm very excited.
New things, yes, so excited. Yeah.
So basically, a few weeks ago on our Instagram poll, we had a meet the questions, I guess you can say. So we're going to be answering those, and we're really, really, really excited because we have some juicy questions.
Yes, yes.
So I'm really excited to answer them.
Let's see. The first question by Simply Gen Z. What do you like doing in your free time? So, Naina, do you want to start? And then we can go Melissa and then Jen. And
Yeah, sure.
Okay, go for it.
I personally turning to a movie fanatic. It's how I've been keeping myself from going crazy and
quarantine. Yes.
I don't even stick to a specific like type of movies. I just will watch whatever I'm recommended. So yeah, that's just my guilty pleasure recently.
Okay. So I don't know if anyone else is like this, but I don't have like I'm like average at a bunch of average like I'm like at a bunch of hobbies like mm-hmm. I like to sing, I like to play instruments, I kind of like to draw, but I'm like average at everything.
Well rounded.
I doubt that.
I like doing a lot of different stuff, but I'm not like really good at anything.
Okay, very similar to Melissa. Like, I do everything. I'm a very like jack of all trades, master of there's one thing that I really really love. I love just like reading Harry Potter.
Ooh,
just, like it's for fun. I don't know. That's something I would love to do in my free time if I had more time. But
you should do the 24-hour movie binge where you can watch all the movies in like one day.
Yes, I know.
I thought we were gonna do that. Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. I'm planning on doing that during like winter break or something. Yeah. Like Thanksgiving break. Then maybe that's what I'll do.
Coming up soon, yeah. I get excited.
That is so cool. I need a break already. I had a 5-day weekend. I need another one.
It wasn't enough.
It was me. Yeah.
How about you, Alina?
I'm not like an interesting person. I guess I also really like film. Okay, no. Thank you. Thank you, Naina. I'm also really into filmmaking, so I'm currently like writing a script for a film that I want to shoot, but that shit is taking so long, y'all. Like, you really don't know. Like, I also fence competitively, and I'm obsessed with Marvel movies, mainly because of Chris Evans, which we've already talked about. Oh my gosh, guys, I need to show you my candle. Sorry, my friend got this for my birthday. It literally says, this smells like Chris Evans.
Oh my god.
That's amazing.
That's it's so crazy. I kind of want one right now.
Alina and the candle.
Literally. Yeah.
Okay, Alina, okay. I watched that scene where Chris Evans, I mean, Captain America, says, mm-hmm. like, Avengers Assemble every single month. Mm-hmm. And I cry every single month. I'm, like, 2 a.m. I watch it on repeat. And I tears.
Wealthy to that. Literally,
oh my gosh,
I love
Marvel.
Yeah, Marvel's great. So I enjoy Chris Evans in my free time.
So Jen, I know you said you liked Harry Potter, so I was just wondering, what house are y'all in? Like,
have you guys taken
the quiz?
I haven't. I took the quiz. I'm a Ravenclaw.
Yeah,
I'm a Slytherin.
I
don't know what I'm at. I literally have never seen any Harry Potter movie or book. Oh, I'm gonna get dragged. Like, I literally haven't.
Just get into it.
I will. I kind of want to watch it, but my cousin was obsessed with it, so I've kind of like been a Harry Potter like out or whatever. I don't know. Not right terminology. So
Hey, Naina, what house are you?
I'm a Slytherin. Even though, in the past, like the past, I've gone like Hufflepuff, Ravenclaw, nothing but Gryffindor.
What? I don't see.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. I took the quiz. It gives me Slytherin, so I'm like, if J.K. Rowling says that, I'm going with it. Like,
I don't know if you should trust her.
Yeah, I don't know if she's the most trustworthy. Yeah.
Problematic.
We don't stand her. That's like the only thing I know about Harry Potter is that she's like really like, she's a little problematic. So
she is.
I mean, a lot problematic. So for the next question, there's so many. Okay. This one's from the Jason LI _. Who is your biggest inspiration and why? So, okay. Let's see, Nina.
This is tough. Well, Melissa, do you want to go first? That's like a hard one to think about.
Yeah, I think, so I want to kind of like change the question just to make it more like relevant to our podcast. And let's do our what was the question again?
Who's your biggest inspiration? Okay. We can do Asian women. Yeah, or like, I think that's okay.
Inspiration.
Okay.
So I don't know if y'all went through the same phase as me, but I used to watch Superwoman. Superwoman.
No!
Every day of my life, bro. I dressed up like her on Halloween. I would know how to do the intro. I can't do it now anymore. Yeah, what's up, guys? It's your girl, Superwoman. Blah, 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 blah. But, oh, my gosh. Like, I no longer find her that funny, but she was still a big part of my childhood. Like, I was like, dang, this Asian girl is, like, talking about being Asian, and like that's so relatable, even though I wasn't Indian, obviously. But like I feel like the Asian experience is kind of shared in terms of like strict parents or whatever. So I was obsessed with that girl. And I mean, she has done a lot in her career, so
mm-hmm.
Pretty inspiring.
Oh, no, literally, I remember completely resonating with this one video she had where it's about her getting a bad grade on a test, and like to cover it up, she like made up this whole story where she had a boyfriend who did drugs, and like they went to jail, you know, just to have the shock value. So when she actually tells her, she had to see, it's not a big deal. And, like in the end, it's funny because like, you know, she screams like, you know, come back here, you gotta see. I just distinctly remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. So Melissa, what about you? Oh, sorry. Wait, you can go.
No, I was just wondering, you said you dressed up as her for Halloween. What okay, did you dress up
listen,
as?
Listen, okay. This is, I'm like traumatized. Like, I've just suppressed this in my memories. But I wore like some kind of unicorn shirt. Not like a shirt that was physically a unicorn. Like something that said something about unicorns on it.
No.
I'm pretty sure. And then I wore like a snapback. Oh my gosh, turned like backwards.
Girl. Okay.
It was so bad. Okay. But at the time I was like, this is so good. But looking back, that was a little bit embarrassing. Just a little bit, but we got through it, so yeah. What about you, Nina?
I honestly am gonna go with the same answer because she really impacted my whole childhood. But since we're like in a YouTube like section, I've mentioned Best Dress before. I love her with my whole heart. Just the way she just talks about life and everything, and just how comfortable her vlogs make me feel. And also like, the way she talks about beauty standards just make me feel so heard and just so related to. It's just amazing.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. Jen?
Mine is okay. Piggybacking, oh my gosh.
Piggybacking, love it.
What is this, a Socratic seminar? I don't even know. Okay, but going off on like the whole YouTube, my favorite is, I don't know if you guys know her. Her name's Your Mom Ashley. Yes. I followed her when she had like 50K, and like I just love her because she's very much just like a great like bigger sister, because I'm the oldest. I never really had a bigger sister, so I don't know what that's like. And just having like that as a platform, I think that's really interesting. And then just like her entire family and her boyfriend is just so cute and like goals, and I want that when I'm older. So I don't know, she's like a big inspiration, and she's great fashion sense too, and I just love her. She's amazing. How about you, Alina?
It's so wholesome. I love it.
For me, okay. I also went through a Superwoman phase, and also I do love Best Dressed. She is literally my queen. So I liked Superwoman for a while. I think my answer to this question would probably be, I'm trying to think, because, like, honestly, it's kind of sad that I can't think of anyone off the top of my head because of, like, how difficult it is for Asian women to, like, succeed. But I would say Jameela Jamil. That's, like, the first person who comes to mind. I love that woman. She's beautiful. And I just think what she's done with her platform as, like, an individual is so powerful because, like, our entire media that's portrayed back to us is so false and it's so filtered. We don't get to see the genuineness within the people who are, like, part of this, like, community. So her being open about, like, her eating disorder, how she deals with body dysmorphia and things like that was just, like, important to me. I'm sad that I only learned about her when I was, like, a little bit older, because, like, if I was younger, I would not have been as, like, self-conscious or anything. So definitely Jameela Jamil. Yeah, and also, like, so funny story for, like, Superwoman. I was obsessed with this girl, like, literally, like, I don't find her so funny anymore because, like, I feel like the humor is just, like, not at that level, but it's okay. I was obsessed with her. Yeah, I, like, would wear hats. That's where my, like, hat phase started. Like, all my pictures from, like, all my pictures from, like, 9 to, I want to say, like, 13, I have a hat on, and it's, like, nasty. Like, girl, do better.
Lena, me too.
I so bad.
Get snapbacks, because that's what she wore. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my girl. Really? But anyways, so.
Wait, another, like, okay, I completely forgot about her, but another inspiration that I had mostly as a kid was Michelle Phan.
Yeah!
That woman! The girl who started the beauty community.
Yes.
She was Asian! And her Draw Her Life video.
Oh my god.
Inspirational.
Draw Your Life.
It was 13. It was a cultural reset.
I remember watching the Dolan twins, like, Draw My Life, and I was like, oh my god, wow. But, like, I don't like them. They're, like, anyways, not getting into that. I need to stop talking about white men. This one is sent by Habib Maya. So, hopefully I said it right. Sorry, girl. Basically, what's a struggle you guys experienced while growing up in the Asian community? I think this is kind of a good one. Naina, do you want to start?
Yeah. I feel like it was just, especially as a South Asian, I think it was just finding, like, a lack of connection with, like, either white people or, like, non-white people who are also of color, also, like, within the Asian community. Because it's not like, you know, if someone was talking about, you know, like, Asians in general, like, I wasn't the image that would pop up in their head. So I feel like, mm-hmm. like it was just a disconnect if, you know, like, I talked about Melissa when we were recording an episode, like, you know, many girls will struggle about where to put, you know, their nationality when they're, ethnicity when they're given, like, you know, like, a paper to fill out. Like, I can definitely relate to sort of, like, that confusion and trying to navigate it. Or being so convinced that I was Native American, because people always say, like, you know, oh, Christopher Columbus found the Indians or whatever. And it was just, I distinctly need to be educated by my mom that, like, yeah. It's not a part of my heritage. So, funny.
Man, fuck Christopher Columbus. That's all I have to say. Go ahead, Melissa.
I think one struggle I had was just, okay, so I live in Ohio, for anyone that doesn't know. And in Ohio, it is a lot different than, let's say, California. I think my district is 3% Asian, and it was even a little bit less when I was in elementary school. So I grew up with, like, one other Asian in my grade. I had, like, no, like, role models to look up to or anything. And all of, like, the upperclassmen Asian were, like, tried to, I guess, like, stay away from their Asian identity because of how white my community is and how, like, racist my community is. So, I mean, I struggled with, like, a lot of bullying growing up. And just, like, I always felt ugly as shit. Like, I just always felt, like, so ugly because people would be like, oh my gosh, your eyebrows look like caterpillars, your nose is so big, your eyes are so small. Like, the list just went on and on. I was like, girl, oh my gosh. But so yeah, I just grew up feeling really terrible about myself, basically. And I think a lot of people that, like, grew up in primarily white neighborhoods kind of feel the same way, and especially in, like, places like Ohio. So I feel like now I don't care about what other people think. In the past few years, that has been, like, a push for, like, racial justice activism and, like, being more sensitive about those issues. So I think that my district has actually, like, improved a lot in that sense. But I mean, it's still not great. And anyways, Ohio is terrible. Don't come to Ohio. That's all I have to say.
Moral of the story.
Yeah.
Jen?
I think growing up, I think very similar to Melissa, except, like, it was more so just finding a community in which I can have that certain, like, common ground or commonality between, like different Asian foods. For example, like, I don't know, like, in the lunch or cafeteria, I would bring in, like, one of my favorite Filipino dishes. As I mentioned before in the first episode, kare kare, it's, like, this peanut dish, and it's just filled with, like, beef and stuff, and it's very, very good. It's incredibly good. I love it so much. But it just smells, of course. So just having, like, people just, like, stare at you is something that I never wanted, especially at age 4, already being, like, super, super, like, insecure about, like, my body and the way I look. And already having people just look at, like, the food that I have. I think that's something that, like, I've always struggled with. And then also just, like, seeing the lack of representation for me in the media. And then just in general, I think, like, I definitely had, that's why I have mental health issues now, period. That's literally why. But it's gotten, yeah, it's gotten a lot better. So I'm very, very happy with that. And ever since I've joined Dear Asian Youth, it's always, like, I'm able to creatively, like, express how I feel. So I feel a lot better due to this community. But I've definitely had a lot of experiences, bad experiences growing up, for sure.
Yeah, same. Mm-hmm.
You, Alina?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, my dog is, like, making noise, so if he's, like, being annoying, ignore that. For me, similar to all of y'all, I think, like, first of all, the whole idea of just living and growing up in a racially homogenous area was very difficult. For the people who don't know, I live in Idaho. Similar to Melissa, it is nasty here. Do not come here. Mm-hmm. Even though people are not listening, a lot of people from California are coming here, which is weird. It's because they're racist. But anyways, so growing up, racially, like, homogenous place was very difficult on finding my identity. And my parents, like, they always raised me to be comfortable in who I am and, like, be proud of my culture. So, like, that's always been nice to have a supportive, like, environment in my household. But it's still different when outside you are still considered, like, different than everyone. And I think one thing that I struggled with was, like being whitewashed for an Asian, or, like, being too Asian, or, like I have always, when I, like, was growing up and going to, like, public school all until, like, seventh grade, people would always tell me what about me was too white or what about me was too Asian. And so that was really hard for me because I never really knew who I was supposed to be. So if I were to bring, like, traditional, like, South Asian food to lunch, similar to, like, what Jen said, people would be like, oh, that's weird. But if I were to, like, talk or dress, like, white, in air quotes, people would be like, oh my god, you're, like, the white, most whitewashed, like, brown person I know. And I'm like, what the fuck do you expect a brown person to be like? Like, I don't know. So that created, like, a lot of internalized hate, I think. And again, with the whole idea of, like, not seeing someone like me and, like, being able to idolize someone who looked like me created a lot of, like, ingrained, like, hate of, like, how I look. And I struggle with, like, Eurocentric beauty standards, still do. So that's definitely an effect of, like, all of my experiences. So, sorry, that was, like, such a sad response. But I don't know if you can take anything from this. Yeah, I mean, it's, like, if you can take anything from this, it's, like, everyone's experienced this. Like, at least, like, out of all of us four, we've all experienced this and we've lived in different areas. So it's, like, you're not the only person. You kind of just have to come into, like, your own. So, I don't know. That's my thoughts.
No, but it's good because I definitely feel like we've grown, especially as Dear Asian Youth has, you know, been a part of our lives. So it's a whole something, you know, because we're growing. We are still going through it to an extent, but, like, it's going to get better.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. So And that, I know, I mean, that's why I'm, like, grateful for having this platform and, like, working with all of you, because it shows me that I have people who are, like, similar to me and have had similar experiences. So I'm not the only one who, like, has internalized hate because of all these Eurocentric beauty standards and living in a racially homogenous area. So very fun experiences all around. So question from the one and only Stephanie, and she basically said, is asking about horror stories with white men. And y'all get ready. Okay. I'm gonna think about a good one. So Naina, you can go ahead.
There was always this white male kid, I'm sorry, in 11th grade. And he would walk around, you know, following me, like asking to smell my hair because he thinks he would smell like curry or whatever. And then at one point he like asked me to dance like this, like if you, yeah, exactly, like with the hand motions and like from Bollywood or whatever. And I was in fifth grade. I did not know what microaggressions were. I didn't even think that racism against Asians existed, right? So I was like, you know what? This is weird. This is a pet peeve. But it's normal, right? So that's my horror story.
That's wacky AF, bro. That is so weird.
That's so bad. The fact that he started doing that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Let's jump right into it. So this one white guy I was talking to, one day randomly was just like, you know, you're the first Asian girl I've been attracted to. And I was like, okay. He's like, yeah, I usually don't find Asian girls attractive at all. So like, you're the only girl that's Asian that I've ever been attracted to. I was like, okay, am I supposed to care? Like, what do you want me to say to that? Like, I literally, I'm getting out of here because you're weird as fuck. It was just like, why do they say that? Why do they always say that? It's so weird.
They say it to us like it's a compliment, but
exactly. Anyways, that guy was problematic as hell. So, anyways, the next one is kind of even worse, I'd say. Because I was talking to this white guy, and I found out that he watched hentai, and I said, absolutely not. Like, I have, for those of you who can't see me right now, I have, like, lavender hair, I'm Asian, like, I said, no, sir, I literally yeeted myself out of that situation. I said, no thanks, because is it just me that thinks that's a little bit sus? Like, just a little bit sus.
Extremely sus.
Yeah.
Extremely sus. No.
Girl, the way I, like, I'm in, like, shock. Like, y'all can't see my face, but Jen and I both synchronized our hands, flew to our mouth, like, what is going on? Nasty. Yeah,
again, never come to Ohio. Anything you do in your life, do not come to Ohio. Everybody is whack as hell here, so stay out of Ohio.
Yeah.
No, I've been to Ohio just to stop by. Like, I went to stop by Cleveland. No, that place is janky. Like, it's
for real.
Hell.
It's just porn. And hell is real signs. Guys, 2 miles from my house. 2 miles. There is a whole plot of land that is just fake graves, like abortion fake grave
made by a
Catholic church. And it's just like a bunch of like fake graveyard, I don't know, thingy crosses and things like that. And it's like abort all of the babies that have been aborted.
Ooh, fuck them kids. It's what are you talking about? I don't give a fuck about kids. Send them away. Sorry, that was so radical of me. No, I've been to Ohio. I have to go for a fencing competition. I think it was Junior Olympics I had there. It was actually this season. Okay, I know I live in Idaho, but like, girl, what the fuck? Like,
I know, bro.
Like, I have the right to say, because I also live in like a whack ass state. But like, anyways, not to shit on Ohio. I mean, yeah, to shit on Ohio. Yeah. Anyways,
everyone in Ohio hates Ohio.
I believe it. That's why. Okay, I need to start talking about Ohio. Okay. Jen, do you have anything?
Okay. I think I mentioned this before in one of the podcasts, but I swear, my freshman and my sophomore year, there was this fucking guy. Okay, like, we talked about this before where literally he's, like, he's a World War One, World War Two fanatic, and he would like, I swear, he would like follow.
It's always them. It's always them.
Get this. He's in my Spanish class this year. And luckily we're on Zoom and his last name's A through L. Like he has like an A through L last name, so I don't get to see him in person. But I swear he has like a Filipino flag in the back of his freaking.
No.
Yeah, you have to send the back of his mom.
You have and to then, send the picture. Ew.
Get this. He has a Trump 2020 right on the left. So anyway, basically he would follow me around and say that he was really, really into Filipino women and Asian women. And then he asked me if I was Filipino and I like said, yeah, like what else would I be? And then he just like stared at me for like the rest of the class. And then he would follow me, like escort me out the door. It was so, and get this. Okay. Wait, I'm going into a whole thing. I had to volunteer at one of the churches. Like, I was doing, like, a food pantry or something. And there was this really nice old couple or whatever. And I was like, okay, they're really, really nice. And then they asked me my name. It's like, hi, I'm Genesis. Nice to meet you. And then they said, wait, we know you. I was like, huh? Like, I really just met you. And it turns out it was the dude's grandparents. So they're like, we've heard so much about you.
No, girl.
Yeah, oh my god, you met the grandparents without you even knowing about it.
Yeah, literally.
I know. Chile. So, yeah, that's my horror story. And I hate the white men in my area.
You need security guards ASAP,
girl. Yeah, I know.
Protect yourself.
Like, literally, I would find, like, my friends and I'd be like, help me. Like, get me out of this situation because he wouldn't stop following me.
It's awful.
And then I literally told him, I'm like, back off. Like, I'm just, no. And then he just, like, stopped and I felt bad, but.
Woo. Woo. I mean, really don't feel bad. That's. Nina and I both, don't feel bad, girl. Fuck that,
not
man.
Not the Trump 2020.
Not the Trump 2020.
Not the Filipino flag.
Yeah, that's more concerning. I feel like I'm, like, used to seeing Trump 2020 flags in, like, those background of, like, white boys. What the Filipino flag? Girl, what the fuck?
Yeah, and then he has, like, a China flag, and then,
that's, like, really concerning. Like,
psychological evaluation is needed. Oh, my God.
Ew. Also, okay. I have, like, three, but they're all really short, so I'm going to run through them real quick, because they're, like, generally just, the moral of the story is white men are problematic. So similar to Jen, I've noticed it's always the fuckers who are obsessed with like World War One, World War Two that fetishize Asian women. Like, I don't know what it is, but, and people are gonna know who I'm talking about when I say this, and I've already told this story, but I've only ever dated one person. He's a white man. And it's okay because it was like only three months, so we don't count that shit. But I should have seen this coming because he, literally three out of the four women who he's dated are Asian women. And that to me was a red flag. But then he started talking about how he loves World War II. All of our dates would be like he'd want to watch a World War II movie. And I'm like, no. So that was really problematic. And now he's dating some girl who is like from Hawaii, but she's like Japanese. So like that's like a big like World War II type of moment right there. So he was really weird. But anyways, that one's not as like, I mean, that one's concerning, but not as like interesting as the other ones. The second one was I was kind of talking to this guy for a while, and we never like dated, but we were talking, and he would always like, it was so weird because he would just make everything about our conversations like about my race, almost like we had conversations, but he'd be like, oh, my beautiful Pakistani woman, my beautiful Asian woman. I'm like, shut the fuck up. Ugh, no, why are you talking about, like, he would just bring up my like ethnicity, my race, and I'm like, no, we're not talking about this. Why are you like my beautiful Pakistani ethnic queen, gorgeous Asian woman? I'm like, no, girl, no. And like I was about to say his name, but his name was like real basic as fuck. Like it was like some like a white boy name. So like
Dylan.
Yeah, basically. And it was a J name. Nasty. I should have seen it coming. And then last one. Okay.
It's J names.
Like what the fuck is up with that? Like nasty. But anyways. And then, okay, last one, but all my South Asian beautiful women out there know, I'm sure they've had this experience before, but South Asian women, like, people don't, like, consider them, like, Asian because they're not East Asian, or, and, like, I'm not sure if this happens with Southeast Asian women, but I know I can speak for, like, South Asian women. So I was talking to this guy who's been my friend for a while. He goes to my school, and I was, like, joking about how I'm bad at math and, like, making a classic, like, Asian joke. I'm, like, not your stereotypical Asian, right? Because I'm Asian. And he's, like, you're not from Asia, though. Or, like, you're not Asian. And I'm, like, are you going to tell me where I'm from? Like, I know I'm Asian. So it was, like, this whole thing of me trying to explain to him that I'm Asian. And I just gave up because, like, he literally didn't, like, he wasn't understanding me. So I don't know, like, if any of the other South Asian girls have experienced this, but it's been a familiar experience.
Literally, I told this story to Melissa and Zoe, I'm pretty sure. But I was talking with a friend, right? And she, ironically, was half Asian, half white. And I don't know, we were talking about strict parents, and I go, haha, Asian girl things. And she's like, but you're not Asian. You're Venezuelan. And what? I'm like,
girl! What are you talking about?
I was like, I don't know where you got the information. I'm sorry, but I am Indian. She's like, oh, but that still doesn't mean you're from Asia. I'm like, do I need to pull out a map for you? I mean,
little geography lesson.
I'm glad she goes against the, like, smart Asian stereotype, but, like, at what cost? That was just too much.
Venezuelan? That's in fucking South America!
That's not in America!
India.
No, okay, wait. Sorry, like, little, I have to, what's the fucking word? I'm just gonna jump in here real quick. So, we all love that fucking game where people are like, oh my god, guess your ethnicity game. You know, like, people just start guessing your ethnicity. What are some of the responses you've gotten? Because I've gotten Native American, Latina, Arab, and then I've also gotten Chinese.
Here.
And, yeah, I'm like, like, what are you talking about? I'm clearly brown, like, and I'm clearly, like, part of the South Asian community. Like, people can guess India, and, like, that's close, because I'm Pakistan, and technically they were, like, the same for a while.
Yeah.
But, like, geographically, like, make it make sense. I don't know. But what about y'all? I'm just curious. Sorry.
China, my Chinese sister.
Thank you guys for accepting me into the Chinese community.
I've gotten Native American, for sure.
Yeah. That's fucking okay, whatever. Venezuelan, I don't, okay, sorry.
I've just gotten Latina. I've literally gotten Latina so many times. It is so crazy because no. And then I've gotten Korean, which I kind of see, but no. No.
Man, people. Yeah, Melissa, what about you?
To be real, I've pretty much only gotten, okay, well, I guess this is kind of a lot, but not as much as you guys. I've gotten Chinese, Korean, and Japanese. So obviously people do not know the difference. They just cannot distinguish at all. They're like, you all look the same. Like, if they guess Korean or Japanese, I'm like, no, I'm Chinese. They're like, well, they're all the same thing anyways. They're all Chinese.
I hate that. I hate that response.
I'm like, hello? I don't, what? What's going through your brain right now? Like, they're different countries and different parts of the world.
Okay, literally white people be like, I never seen three different Asians. One of them's got to be the same.
No, like, because my thing is like, white people be like, oh, y'all, all Asian people look the same, or all black people look the same. Bitch, all the Chris's in the world look the same. Like, what the fuck are you trying to say? Like, y'all look the same, too.
I can't tell the difference between Chris Hemsworth, Chris Evans, and whatever, the other Chris sometimes. Like, I'm like, which one is it?
I could spot Chris Evans in a crowd of white men, but that's like
true.
But yeah, okay, so kind of on the, we can go on to the next question. But moral of the story, fuck white men, unless it's Chris Evans. So, but honestly, like, unless he's problematic, then we don't like him either. So, okay, for this one, it basically says, I had one of my closest friends say something racist towards me. What should I do? Ooh. Nana, you want to start us off?
Yeah, I obviously don't know the full situation. It's very broad. But depending on how extreme it is and, like, thinking about how it's, like, compromised your, like, comfort level with her, like, your happiness with her, like, that should determine, like, how close you stay with her, like, you know, whether you're going to actually commit to that friendship, because I don't want you to let things slide, because really Asians have been gaslighted for so long. So I'm saying, like, do anything but let it slide and let it, you know, remain silent. Like, don't remain silent about it. Like, it doesn't mean you have to be all, like, confrontational or, like, interrogating. Just, like, bring it up subtly. Be like, okay, that was a bit uncalled for, and then, like, go from there. That's my advice.
Wait, Jen, can you go first? Because I don't really know.
So, as Nana mentioned before, like, I guess I don't think it depends on the situation. I think you should definitely confront her about it. But the way you approach her, I definitely think should be very coherent and up straight up to the point. Just say, why did you say that? Or something like that. Just sort of, like, try to shift the conversation upon her to make her question it. I think that's something, when it comes to you being, like, the one that received the racism, I think that's something you should address, is why did they say that in the first place, in order to build conversation. Because I think if you approach it in such, like, a negative manner, they're going to be hesitant and they're going to not want to respond to your question. So try to be as calm about it as possible, even though it does fucking hurt, because no one wants to receive a racist comment. That's the worst thing that can possibly happen. But the way you handle the situation will make or break how you want your friendship to come about, especially if this person means as much as they do, even though they shouldn't have said that in the first place. Chile, but that's besides the point. But if this person is important in your life and you do want them to fix their ways, then I say just have a conversation. Ask her, why did they say that? Where did you hear this from? Or something like that, in order to shift it. And if they do, then it's not, this friend isn't worth it. Ooh, that's not worth it to me. I can never accept a friend who has said something like that, depending on what it was, so.
Yeah, don't be afraid to drop toxic friends. That is something I've learned. And honestly, you'll feel so much better afterwards. But again, this is all, like, circumstantial, because we don't really know exactly what the situation was. But I really like Jen's answer. The only thing I'd add is make sure you explain your perspective and why it hurt you, why you thought it was racist, and why it was racist inherently. Because sometimes people are ignorant, but it's not because they don't want to learn, if that makes sense. Sometimes they are willing to learn, but just make sure you're not, like, straight up super hostile about it and, like, blaming them, like, why are you racist? Because they might not know that they were, like, being offensive to you and said something that really hurt you. So just make sure to explain yourself fully. And if they end up not accepting the fact that they said something racist and they shouldn't say that anymore, in order to keep your relationship, then cut them out of your life, because you don't need that negativity in your life.
Yeah, completely agree with Melissa, Jen, and Nana. I think, like, they've already said this, but, like, definitely kind of, I wouldn't say confront the person, more of just, like, talk to them about where that's coming from, because, as Melissa said, a lot of the time people are just ignorant, and it comes from a stance of, like, being uneducated. And as someone who's been surrounded by conservative people for the majority of my life because of living in Idaho, a lot, like, as I said, I see the community, like, firsthand experiences, like, people just don't know, and they just are not educated on the experience of what it's like to be a minority living in a racially homogenous country, in a country that constantly oppresses them. So they don't know what it's like when hearing something racist towards them. And another thing that I don't think people have mentioned it, but it's not your job to educate people, so also keep that in mind, because it's not people of color's job to educate others on what's racist and what isn't. If it offends you, it offends you, and they can't say that it doesn't, because it has nothing to do with them. So also keep that in mind. If the conversation's toxic and draining and it's not helping you in any way, just realize that it's not your job to educate them anymore, and they kind of have to come to that conclusion on their own. And I've had, like, kind of microaggressions and certain experiences like that. I'm fortunate enough to have friends who aren't racist to me, because they are not white most of the time. So, but, like, just in general, like, conversations I've had with people who are, like, conservative or racist in general, they tend to not be, one, educated, they're ignorant, and they also just, like, it's not worth spending your time on sometimes. So, but again, if the relationship is something you want to continue with and, like, build, then, like, you can go about, like, conversing about that. So, but that's just what I think, so.
I actually have a good story I kind of wanted to tell.
Yes.
It wasn't my friend, but it was my teacher. He was being really microaggressive about, okay, so you know that stereotype, first of all, it was my math teacher. And you know that stereotype that, like, oh, Asians only care about grades, blah, blah, blah. They don't actually care about learning or whatever. Like, they just want to keep up their grades or, like, and they should be good at math or whatever. So he fucked up a test, and everybody in the class got, like, C's or D's, which is obviously, like, not normal, and it's because he graded it wrong. And then I went up to him, and I was like, hey, and other people have gone up to him about the same test, and I was like, hey, like, can you fix my grade, because it's at, like, a C minus, and I know I didn't get a C minus, even though now I'd be getting C minuses and not even, like, caring, but, anyways, he was like, oh my gosh, blah, 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 like, all you care about is your grade, like, do you even care about learning, blah, blah, blah. I was like, Jesus, but, then I didn't really do anything, because I was, like, kind of nervous, and I was just like, maybe he said that to everyone, you know what I mean, but then he was passing back our tests, like, regraded because he messed up. And then when he was passing back my test, he said something, like, under his breath, but, like, everybody could hear it. He was like, you only care about your grade, blah, blah, blah. Like, you don't even care. Like, something again, like, about how I only care about my grade, even though multiple people went up to him about the same test. And then I literally, like, stood up in front of the whole class and started ooh, this is kind of bad, but, like, started yelling a little bit.
Yes, yes, go Melissa, yes.
And I was like, listen, like, you don't understand, first of all, like, the pressure is coming from an Asian household, and, like, that's why I care so much about my grades. And also, I'm not the only one who cares about my grades. It's not like, just because I'm Asian, I'm the only person that cares about, like, my grades. Everybody has gone up to you about this test, and yet you're singling me out and saying, like, oh, I don't even care about learning, all I care about is my grades. Like, I was, like, crying afterwards, so it was, like, kind of, like, a sad moment, honestly, but I was also, like, proud of myself that I, like, said something, obviously. So afterwards, after class, he actually came up to me and apologized, and he was crying, which was like, what is happening?
And he should. The fuck?
I guess, like, I really got to him, and he, like, recognized that he was racist. Obviously, this is like 0.000%, 0.1% of the, like, time this will happen. So I don't necessarily recommend yelling to your teacher in front of the whole class. Maybe not the most optimal route to go, but yeah, I guess, like, it kind of shows, though, like, some people are, like, just ignorant, but, like, if you do approach it, like, with, like, knowing that they may just not know what they were doing was offensive, that they might actually, like, sympathize with you and, like, change, but also they end up not changing what they're doing, then, like, we've all been saying, like, just cut them out, but give them, like, a chance to, like, give them a chance if your relationship means a lot to you.
Yeah, I completely, very wonderful story. I love hearing you yelling at your teacher. honestly, like, I don't know why people are so, like, pressed about, like, when Asians are, like, well, the stereotype of Asians caring about their grades, it's, like, girl, my whole life depends on this shit, like, that's how our society is set up. Like, what do you want to say?
I'm just, like, complying with the system. Like, I didn't make it or create it, so don't come for me, all right?
Yeah, I'm doing my best. So, I don't know how to say this username, but it's KXILA.H. How old are you? What inspired you to be on this podcast? And then there was another question about the podcast. Yeah, I think that, actually, I think that was the only one.
Yeah, so I am the fetus here. I am a whole ass 14.
14, girl, what? Child.
I know, why are we here? But
I'm kidding.
I remember I was just going through Instagram and I saw JJ's account and I was going through, you know, their stories, and I remember going through their literature section as well on their website, and I remember seeing like a spoken word poem called Soul Over Stereotypes, and everything in there like resonated with me so much, even though it was from an East Asian person, but like still like overall Asian stereotypes as a whole. And then like I also watched a video about like how caste system affects, you know, anti-blackness, and like, you know, how colorism in general is just such a big thing with being South Asian. I was like, this is me, like this is a bunch of answers that I've been like looking for, like specifically with beauty standards, which is like a fraction of my Asian identity. But like I realized, you know, like seeing a few articles of G-Asian youth made me like so happy and made me feel like so heard. So I thought, you know what, why not apply it, like, you know, further the steps. And like I'm really grateful that I did, because I've learned literally so much about myself, Asians in general, and just people in general, and other people's experiences. And like overall it was just like a learning, like just like immersing myself in the culture has been like a very like eye-opening experience.
I joined Dear Asian Girl because I guess it was like kind of like Nina, like it was kind of on a whim. I found Dear Asian Youth's account. I thought they were really cool, and I applied to be a podcast host, which I thought, like, honestly, I'm not even the most extroverted person. Like, I'm pretty introverted. I don't know if you guys can relate or not, but I actually, like, I'm, like, outspoken when I need to be, like, when I'm yelling at my teacher for being racist, but usually I'm, like, a pretty soft-spoken person, and I don't really like being the center of attention, so this is kind of, like, a big step for me, like, just, like, personally, and I feel like I've just, like, grown so, so much in Dear Asian Girl, not only with like my self-identity and feeling more like content with myself, especially like being able to help other people through my stories. I think that's just like a really beautiful thing, and I feel like it's also just helped me become a little more confident with, like, I don't know, like public speaking in general, and just like feeling, I don't know, it's just crazy that people listen to us ramble on about our lives. I don't, like, do you guys feel the same? Because I'm,
oh,
like,
same. No. I'm like, I don't have anything important to say. Y'all listen to me? Like, thanks. Exactly. I don't know.
No, it's so weird because, like, now people, like, actually reach out to my personal account and talk about my experiences and how they relate. And I'm like, wait, what? This is so weird. It's, like, I find it so amazing. And it's so cool that, like, we have this platform in general to have that. But it's just, like, what? Like, am I, like, what? That's so weird.
Crazy.
And the fact that, like, we've grown so much, like, I wasn't even here in the beginning. I joined somewhere in, like, July, and, like, we went from, I don't know, like, 3,000 listeners to now, like, 7,000 something.
Yo, let's go, guys.
63 countries. Nina literally counted 63 countries. That is so insane. I can't even conceptualize it, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I get that. That was so wholesome. Also, Melissa and Nina, like, I've never recorded an episode with y'all, but, like, I love y'all. Like, this is so fun. You guys are so
cool. I know. I want to do, like, another one, just, like, the four of us. That'd be so
good.
I know. It's so chaotic, but I also love
it. I know, I swear. But yeah, Jen, do you want to give us a little answer?
Yeah. So, the podcast didn't even exist before I joined. Dear Asian Youth at the time had maybe like 5,000 plus followers. And I think they were pitching the idea for podcast people, but they never had a set application. They were just like, hey, if you have any other thing, like, say down below, like your resume or something. So it's like, oh, I have radio editing skills and I've done a podcast before. And so then I got interviewed by our founders, and we just came up with the idea, and it didn't like become of anything. It was really originally going to be me before Alina joined. So I'm really happy, because I swear, Alina, before you joined, I had no clue what I was doing. I had my template all laid out. I was like, am I just going to be talking with myself for 40 minutes? And Dear Asian Girl, like, I literally came up with that super last minute too. I remember it was like in
like late July, no, early July that I was like, oh my gosh, let's just like do Dear Asian Girl. And then I reached out to an illustrator and it like all happened. And I'm really happy that it started out the way it is. And I'm happy that like I was like one of the first people to like sort of like start it up. And I'm very happy how it is now, because I'm not gonna lie, like this podcast is my life and my baby. I love it. Like all four of us, like we all know like how much effort we put into it and all the shit that we've been through because of this podcast. But it's like literally the best thing ever, just listening and hearing like how we've evolved, not only as like podcast co-hosts, but just like how we've had a new perspective on everything and how it has like impacted our lives. And the fact that we have so many people that listen to it, like I never would have thought like so many people would have listened to like this little idea that like I just pitched one day. So I'm really, really happy about that. And I'm happy like Dana, Alina, and Melissa are here too, because without this, I swear, it would have been so bad.
Honestly, it would have been hilarious, because like the white horror story is like, that's enough. You'd be carrying it with it.
I think if I was alone, I would have just talked about like my white men horror stories.
Your Asian girl white hating edition. I love it.
It would have been so good. Yeah, but that's a little spiel.
Beautiful. Yeah, no. Yeah, I was the second host to join. Of course, Jen was the first, my queen. And so I was just like looking at, so I started following Dear Asian Girl when they were like just starting up. Like they like had less than 1,000 followers because I had another organization that I run. And so I've been like, I have another podcast. So my organization that I run is called Yas. And so we started following Dear Asian Youth on Instagram. So when they just started, and I kind of like had them in mind for like working with them in the future, and they grew really fucking fast. Like they grew really fast. And like for me, I've always like been involved with social justice and activism, because I mean, I'm not really involved within it. It's just kind of my life because of being a minority living in like this country. So it hasn't been like a hobby. It's more of just like having to be a part of it because it affects me. And so I've always been like doing projects in regards to activism, but I never did anything specific to my identity. I never did anything that's specifically based for the demographic of Asian girls. And that's kind of when I was like, okay, I think I'm gonna reach out to Dear Asian Youth. And I joined them when they had, I think like 6,000 followers, maybe 5,000, somewhere around there. And I was just looking at their application, and I applied for podcast team. And I've had experience with filmmaking, editing, which I've already talked about, so I won't get into that. So I was like, okay, I can help like edit podcasts, which I haven't, by the way, because Jen be doing all of it on her own, go girl. But I promise I'm here to help. So I had experience with editing, and I got interviewed, and then I was accepted, thankfully. And it's been one of my most passionate projects that I've been lucky enough to be a part of. I'm so grateful for the team behind the scenes and the ones in front of the camera, because it takes a lot to run this shit. Like, I run another podcast, and it's been basically me doing shit on my own. It's so fucking hard. So, like, shout out to everyone who's contributed to Dear Asian Girl in, like, the smallest and the largest ways. So, I'm kind of ranting here, but I think I'm grateful just to have a community at this point, because obviously living in, like, a small town in Idaho is not the most, like, easiest way to find your people, I guess. So, I've learned a lot through this, and, like, been able to bring more issues of like South Asian women specifically to the forefront of conversations. So I don't know, I've been grateful for that, and I'm very, very grateful for these wonderful co-hosts, and I love y'all so much. Little wholesome.
Oh, I felt that literally. I don't even know how I got in. I'm just like so lucky to be here, and literally it's so great just listening to you guys talk on Sunday, not my episodes because I can't stand my voice, but hear you guys talk.
It's
so wholesome.
I'll like listen to like 5 seconds of Nina and I's podcast, and I'll be like,
literally, no, I'll be like abortion.
No, I can't stand my voice. I'm like, the second I turn it on, I'm like, hey guys, it's Nina. I'm like, shut the fuck up, girl. No one likes you. Like, literally, shut up. People don't listen for you. They listen for Jen and Melissa. And there you go. Okay.
Nobody do not. I love how, like, we talked about something wholesome, and then we ended it up on, like, how much we hate our boys.
No!
Like, on brand okay. for us. Very,
that is.
It's very on brand. Oh.
The self-hate is fabricating roots.
Yes.
The self-hate is thriving today. But yes. I think that's kind of all the questions we can go through. We've been talking a lot, and y'all are probably getting bored of me, but, yeah, so does anyone have anything else they want to add?
Just, I'm so grateful to everyone who watches this. Like, I don't think you understand, like, the support is amazing, makes us feel so great, and thank you to, like, literally everyone behind the scenes, like, social media team, we give you so much shit, like, I'm so sorry, and, like, everyone else, like, we love you and appreciate your hard work so much. Just, everyone, thank you so much.
And thank you to our listeners, because we never would have imagined that 7,000 people would be listening to our voices that we very clearly hate, just ramble about our lives, our irrelevant lives. We hope that, like, our stories have really, like, helped you, that, like, you can relate to them and feel more confident about your Asian American identity. And we're just so grateful for each and every listener, because we never thought that we'd be able to grow Dear Asian Girl so big, and also just have so much love.
Want more of Dear Asian Girl? You can find us everywhere on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Anchor. We're on everything. Can't get enough? Subscribe, follow, rate, review to get all the updates on the latest at DAG. Let us know your feedback and what we can do to improve. We also can be found on Instagram. Follow us at Dear Asian Girl to receive updates about our latest episodes and fun facts about the host. We'd love for you to reach out. DAG, Dear Asian Girl, a podcast dedicated to share the stories of Asian girls everywhere. For the Asian girl, by the Asian girl.